Hello and welcome to The Tech Teachers. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, a Spanish teacher.
And this is a show about technology and education as much as possible where they overlap.
And you can check out our show notes at thetechteachers.blogspot.com and you can email us at rayandholly@gmail.com.
And this is show
100.
Yay! Happy 100th show, Holly.
All right, happy 100th show. Very good.
Yes.
Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. I realized I forgot to say that at the beginning.
Okay.
Very good.
All right, so what do we have? What do we have up here today? Well, lots of stuff, right?
Right. We record less frequently now, but we're going to talk some about some tech news and then also some education items.
Yes, and we're also going to mention that we have coming up soon the Holiday Spectacular.
Holiday Special.
Holiday Spectacular, okay. And we are recording less frequently, but we are still recording. We've gotten some tweets and some emails and stuff about when the next show is coming out. We are still going to record. Our goal is no longer anywhere near monthly. We're hoping for about 3 or 4 shows a year.
Yes.
Yes.
So. Very good. Well, so what's been going on? Chiefs are doing well.
Yes, the Giants are okay. Their game just got postponed, but the Chiefs are having a good season so far. We'll see if they make the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely. We've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yes.
As well as teaching.
Yes, as well as teaching, yes.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so what do we got some education and some tech stuff, right?
Yes,
so absolutely. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with some tech news, just some things that have happened in the last few months.
A lot has happened.
Yes, just,
but
a
just
couple,
some highlights.
Couple things to mention here.
Yeah.
You were mentioning that it's a good idea to go ahead and update your iPad.
Yes, if you haven't updated to the latest OS, iOS 4.2 whatever, or 4.1 whatever, go ahead and do that because it adds a lot of function to the iPad and it does not slow it down. The multitasking, the folders, it's all great. It's made it feel almost like new.
Oh, very nice.
But I can't wait till March or whenever the new one comes out.
So you can actually have multiple things open at once? Is that
kind
the deal?
Of, yeah. Okay. It's multitasking. It remembers exactly where you're at and you can. It has a quick, fast switching thing so you can go back and forth between programs a lot quicker instead of having to return to the home screen.
And you can play music while you're doing other stuff.
Yes, there is some true multitasking as well.
Okay.
Or, well, I wouldn't say true, but there's some background processes as well for certain types of applications.
Very good. Very good.
So and it's nice.
Yes. What about the new iPhone?
There was a new iPhone. It's good. I don't. Was it? Has it been that long since we recorded a show?
I don't know.
I think the iPhone
it's
happened
been a while ago.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The real interesting thing is that hopefully. There'll be a version of the iPhone on Verizon not long after the beginning of the year. So keep your fingers crossed for that. That's what I'm waiting for.
Isn't there supposed to be another phone, the Windows 7?
Yes, there was a Windows 7 phone released. The sales, Microsoft hasn't released any numbers, but it's modestly successful, but it's not, you know, it was not a huge hit. But from what I've seen of it, the demos and stuff, it looks like a great phone for somebody that, or a great operating system for somebody that's not into the complexity that, you know, Android requires. So.
Right. Okay. And you mostly use...
It looks pretty. It looks pretty.
You mostly use Google Voice.
Yes. I don't even have a phone contract.
Right.
Yeah. And Google Voice recently made it so that you can... And anybody can get a Google Voice account now. And you can call anywhere in the U.S. and I believe Canada for free. For free. All you need is a Google Voice account. It's a little clunky how they're doing it currently because you have to have the Google Chat open or GChat or whatever it's called in one tab and then Google Voice another, and then it'll call your chat account, and then you can talk to anybody at a landline phone or a cell phone. So meaning I can use my computer to call people at their phones now for free.
Okay.
Skype used to charge a couple cents a minute, but free is better than a couple cents a minute. So.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to be using that anytime soon, but...
Well, it depends, you know, you can call your family for free, right? Because you're all the same cell phone carrier, yeah. But for other people, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. Okay. Very good. All right.
Free long distance is basically what we're saying here, right?
Yes.
Completely free, at least from Google for now.
Yes, definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in the classroom.
Okay.
All right, so what's been going on in your classroom?
Well, some people have asked about how the Facebook thing went, and I have it set up so that it automatically does its thing. So when I send a tweet, Facebook automatically gets the information, and I've put one or two video clips on there or whatever. And I don't really know yet because I haven't taken the feedback from the students. It looks like there's about, I have four sections and 90 some students. It looks like about 30 of them might be using it instead of Twitter. So that's still 30 students that, you know, weren't that's using good. Something, you know, or maybe they were using something else. I don't know. But I don't really do much with it. I still use Twitter every day for the homework to give that, send out the homework assignments and reminders and stuff like that and due dates. So it's going fine because it was set it up once and then forget it pretty much for me.
Okay. Now I think that's great, but why wouldn't they just get the homework assignment in class?
Most of them, I think most of them do.
Okay.
But it's, you know, when someone's absent, I don't have to worry about, you know, the, you know, what did we do yesterday kind of thing or what homework was there and stuff like that. Also, you know, kids are forgetful.
Okay.
Or disorganized.
Right.
I mean, how many times has a kid said, oh, I lost the problems? Well, you don't know that, but lost the, you know, lost the numbers or lost the reading assignment or whatever. Well, there's no excuse for that now because it's always online. So,
okay.
Yeah. And it's a way for me to share links too. So the Facebook site has links to things that are important for the course.
Right.
Like the YouTube website and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, and the delicious links and all that. So it's just another place for them to get all the information they need for the class.
And you've been doing a lot of guided readings for YouTube or for...
Yeah, on YouTube, I've instead of using MP3s in the classroom this year, because I have four sections, I actually have been putting my guided readings, the stuff they're supposed to listen to, on YouTube, and I prefer it, because I can see how many people viewed it recently,
Nice.
So I can keep track of, I can be like, okay, only half the classes, you know, really? Half the kids really listened to the whole thing, kind of thing, or most of them did, because odds are you're not going to have random people viewing a... all that's a voice describing some stuff that they have to read. You know, it's not entertaining, those parts. So I actually think I prefer it, and I think I'm going to transition over to that completely, except
for
AP Physics, because theirs are a little bit longer and more involved. But the physics ones are all generally fairly short, the amount that they actually have to read. So I think it's not that much for them to say, hey, sit down at a computer for half an hour kind of thing. Whereas AP Physics, some of the reading assignments are much longer, so it might be better to have it be portable.
I
don't have to worry about checking them out. And AP Physics students are really good about checking them back in and not destroying them. Mm-hmm. Physics students, we've probably lost 20 in the last 2 or 3 years because they're just, you know, there's more students more of them are getting lost.
Younger.
Yes.
Maybe less responsible?
And you've got some kids that don't really care about physics in there, whereas in AP Physics, they all care and they're, you know, doing their assignments, so it's not like they lose track of it kind of thing. So.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, that makes sense. And you've mentioned the guided readings before in the past. It's just where you sort of give them some pointers and point out certain things as they're reading and record an audio file.
Yeah, but now I can keep track of how many are actually doing it.
Listening to it. Yes, very good.
And it means everything's in one spot in terms of the audio and video content because now the sample problems and the guided readings are in the same spot. So I've actually seen a spike in the number of people that are using the video problems, probably because they went there for the audio, like the actual assignment, and they're like, oh, here's a sample projectile problem. I'll go ahead and watch that to help bring myself up to speed kind of thing.
Yeah.
So some of those are up over 500 and 600 views, I think, now.
Right.
Which, once again, I can't imagine anybody watching this for entertainment value because it's really, it's the dry part of physics, the sample problem. It's just a clear explanation of how to do a problem, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be entertaining. It's meant to just be informative, additional practice kind of stuff.
And concise,
as much as I can be. And And, most of them are five minutes or less. But the numbers on those have risen as well this year quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm seeing more and more students using the video problems. Either that or maybe somewhere else there's some other teacher using them, you know what I mean? And I don't know. Because on those, it is possible other students in other places might be using them. I think it's unlikely, but it's possible.
Sure.
Because it's how I want the problem done. You know, it's like, here's the steps that I'm looking for kind of thing. So.
Okay. Something interesting that you had mentioned to me recently is your classroom will probably be purchasing a high-speed camera. Is that correct?
Oh, well, AP Physics, some of the course fee money we're probably going to be getting, probably, I'm not sure on this yet, the real high-speed cameras are thousands and thousands of dollars.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's the
first thing. So if you want a real high-speed camera, you're spending, I think, $2,000 plus or somewhere in the neighborhood of that, you know, upwards, okay, to get the really high-resolution stuff. But now these are not great cameras. I want to make that clear right now from what I've seen in the reviews. These are just so-so cameras. But I believe it's Casio, and we'll put a link in the show notes, has started to allow some of their camera models to shoot like 1,000 frames per second.
Okay.
But now they do this at an extremely low resolution. So you don't get much, and sometimes it's even cropped. So like you're getting a, and there's intervals between there and the 1,000 frames per second or whatever. There's other things, other steps. But you're so getting a low resolution and a small amount. But if you frame it just right, you can actually start to see some things that you can't see with the naked eye.
Okay, but if what you need to see is rather small or distinct, then don't. You wouldn't want to use this.
That's not what I'm saying exactly. We'll put a link to it in show notes and people can... This is mainly for probably science teachers. You can look into it.
Okay, but what would you use it for?
For analyzing motion, for seeing what happens in a split second. Because we always talk about things and I tell them to imagine it in slow motion and stuff like that. Well, it'd be helpful if we could actually watch it in slow motion. So specific examples, like something as simple as just tossing something up in the air or throwing an object, you know, and you know, motion stuff mainly. Okay. There's a whole show. I mean, Mythbusters uses all the time high speed photography to capture good data. Because if you don't have high speed film or high speed cameras, sometimes it's tough for things that happen quickly to actually figure out what's going on.
Okay,
so this allows you to see what's really going on.
Yes. As you're analyzing.
Yes, yeah. And you can analyze video. There's lots of software out there to analyze video as well to figure out actual numbers from these videos. At some point, maybe I'll be there. But right now, I'm just thinking possibly. Mm-hmm. I got to look into it a little bit more. Possibly just to add some video clips of some things we talk about to spice it up a little.
Right. Okay.
Of like actual stuff in the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right.
Okay. Collisions would be another great one.
Well, I'm at a new school this year that I haven't been at before, and it's going really well. And then the netbooks that all of the kids have.
Do they have the same complaints that I have of netbooks?
Well, and it's in the same school district, so it's the same netbooks and that my other kids had, and, you know, everybody has them. And the netbooks, I think that, you know, yeah, the students, I'd say a good portion of them actually complain about the netbooks. They don't like them, and they wish they didn't have them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have really had to buckle down and say I'm not going to provide a paper option for various things that we do, because otherwise then I do have half the class saying I'd rather have the paper option.
Yeah.
It's been a struggle for me, though, because I don't want to use the computer for the sake of using the computer. So
right.
I always got to look at what are they going to get the best benefit out of, you know, and if it's a paper thing, then I do paper, basically.
My complaint with netbooks, and we don't have netbooks. We did get some new laptops that are netbooks, but like it's not like every kid has one.
And a netbook is just a very small
computer.
And
that's the problem. It's a very small computer.
That's what their complaint mostly is.
That still has all the designs of a big computer. So all they've done is basically miniaturized a computer. So you still have a regular version of Windows running on a really tiny screen, right? And then you have a really small trackpad and a really small keyboard. And I mean, for some people, it's okay.
A lot of the kids bring their own mice.
Yes, yeah. Because you hate the input device. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'd have my own mouse and keyboard, and I'd probably say, hey, can I bring an external display? You know?
Right.
You know, I mean, I can understand that because it's not the best setup. Now, you know, is it better than nothing? Of course.
It has been nice to say, okay, everybody pull these out. And most of the kids have them with them.
And every
most
kid
of them.
I mean, would it be... I would still, you know, netbooks over nothing, I would pick the netbooks. Right. But I just think that it's a full-size laptop makes more sense. Even if it's a little clunkier. I mean,
it's too prohibitably expensive, though,
You can get full-size laptops for, like, the same price as netbooks.
We all know school districts are struggling for money right now. I'm very surprised we've been able to carry through with our program,
to be
honest.
That's true.
And the problem is, though, with the screen size, I mean, like, I have a kid will hand me their computer, and I'm not that old, and I'm not going to say my age, but I'm not that old, and I'm looking at the screen like, I can't really see that very well, and they complain about the same thing, you know, and but if they zoom in and use those zoom functions and features of different programs,
it's not
they
as
have
bad.
To move around a lot to get all of the information. It's just, but at the same time, like I said, there are some really great assignments or projects that wouldn't be possible without. And I'm like, okay, pull those out and let's do this, and it's really fun. But yeah. I don't know. There's so definitely some limitations.
Yeah.
So, but it's been I've been enjoying getting used to using them more and more. So,
yep. Excellent. Cool.
Yeah. Very good. Well, we wanted to make this sort of a short show. I think the last thing that we wanted to talk about really was what's been out in the media recently, Waiting for Superman. What are you looking at?
Oh, just looking at our list.
All right.
Sorry.
I turned the list over because I mentioned that we're going to talk about Waiting for Superman. It's a movie or a documentary that I guess recently came out.
We haven't seen it.
Neither one of us have seen this. However,
we've seen the media backlash.
We have seen in the media everywhere, everyone's talking about education, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that a lot of people that are talking are really misinformed. And,
yes.
Yeah, I just think that the picture that is being given is really off.
By the media.
By the media.
By the media. Maybe we don't know that movie because we haven't seen it.
Right.
But I think we're both kind of in agreement that there are plenty of good teachers.
Right.
And it's just like any field. There's, you know, there's some bad employees, there's some adequate employees, and there's some excellent employees.
Right.
And it's easy to find any of them, you know, if you want to do a story. So and that's the problem. And
who's
there's so
gonna
many
make the news, not the adequate or excellent.
Yes, because that's not what's going to get
not
people in an uproar. Exactly. It's not what's going to get people in an uproar. And you know, all the studies that come out with the us versus other countries and stuff like that, it just seems like, you know, there's sometimes it's not a fair comparison. It's apples and oranges because of how we educate versus how other countries educate. But I think we're both in agreement that it just depends on what our society says is important.
Right.
And what every part of society is placing an emphasis on. Obviously, teachers place an emphasis on education, especially, you know, from my field, math and science. Math and science, obviously, it's a huge priority to me. But I don't think it's a huge priority to everyone out there in society.
Right.
So, you know, from politicians to parents to, you know, business people, whatever. To some people it is, to some people it isn't. And I think that's what's changed more than the educators. If anything, I don't know. I have nothing to back this up. But my guess is with all the research that's been done in education and all the advancements that have happened in education, especially at the non-college level. The college level things seem to go kind of even slower. But from high school down, there's been, you know, I would guess significant improvement, okay, based on research and what's been happening in terms of the methods of educating based on all the studies.
Absolutely.
Statistics.
Absolutely. I would completely agree. In all of our professional development, we talk about how can we adapt to today's learner.
Yeah.
And we, you know,
it's
as
not
educators.
Perfect.
No, absolutely not. No, definitely.
I mean, I know
there
what
could
I would
be
change.
Some changes. Yes, there could definitely be some changes, you know, in the field of education as far as the teachers and administrators go and the whole system.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not like people are just blasé about it and we're just sort of letting happen whatever happens.
Yeah.
Teachers are constantly trying to improve their practices to, you know, meet the
some teachers.
Yes, I know, but that's
yeah,
the push,
that's
though.
The, yeah.
From above, that's the push. And generally speaking, a lot of educators, you know, attempt to do that.
Yeah.
But the problem is that there's not any, no one seems to be talking about the other side of the coin there where it is.
And that just comes down to usually
the students and their families not emphasizing what is important, you know. And I'm not saying that I'm not talking as I'm an old person. Look at that younger generation, you know, because I can say that's how it was when I was in school as well, is that, you know, it's just our culture does not value the things that we should value in order to, you know, place our country at a higher level in the world.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of
educationally speaking.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, because we're talking about a very specific topic.
Yes.
So, you know, but at the same time, I do see lots of kids where it is a priority.
Absolutely.
Like, we're talking about on the whole of the entire country. If anything,
right.
I would say at my school that most of the students have their priorities straight.
Right.
Most. The
a
majority.
Lot of students
the
do.
Majority have the priority straight. But.
But you work at a very specific type of
yes,
school,
and I see a very specific type of student.
Right.
So because I'm not teaching a general elective course. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm not teaching a required a course.
Core course.
For the most part. So I'm getting not a complete picture, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, there's plenty of students out there that are doing what they're supposed to. And I would like, and I don't know if there's any studies out here. I should probably look into this. I'm wondering how our top 25% compares to another country's top 25%.
That's a very interesting
Now, obviously,
question.
If we compare it to a country where they're not educating everybody, where there's serious tracking going on, where basically, you know, the bottom third goes somewhere else.
Right.
That's not a fair comparison because then
those
our bottom
kids are tested
because our bottom no, but not only that, but our bottom third is going to hold back our top third.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we have all, you know, if we have everybody.
Oh, you mean in the same environment?
In the same environment,
absolutely.
You can't go as fast. You can't go as in depth. You can't because you've got that bottom third to account for, and we've
right.
got to educate everybody, and that's you know the goal of the school systems is to get everybody to learn material, right? Not
and
just
that's
the top
not
third.
Not necessarily
and let the,
a bad thing if we do it right.
Right, and it depends on what your goals are. You
right.
know, if your goals are to win these competitions with other countries, I can guarantee I could come up with two or three ideas immediately that all you have to do is start them, and you know, statistically, we would improve. You know,
right.
it's not. I mean, I mean, you can make the numbers look how you want. If that was our goal was to win these studies, but now I'm not saying how I feel about any of these issues because I don't
uh-huh.
want to get into all that on like well how I think we should do it, but I'm just trying to put that out there. And
right.
unfortunately, our audience is mainly teachers, which probably have
not
already thought about. Well, not unfortunately, but you know this
but
message is not going
as...
to probably extend beyond mostly
right.
educators, right?
Yeah,
so,
I think it's important for us to talk to people that aren't educators though that we know
and let them know
and let
say,
them know what's
yeah,
going on
and everybody
what's the
else
real
out
deal?
There.
What's the real deal here?
Like there's lots of
yeah.
good teachers.
And yeah, and certainly one of the things we've talked about at my school because we've specifically addressed waiting for Superman and
Oh, really?
Yes, in our meetings and you know, talking about the fact that we do definitely educate everybody, that diversity is a strength within itself. You know, if you are you know, generating all types of skills and then also all types of kids that the kinds of people that we're producing are going to be more creative and they're not going to think in one certain way. You know, I don't know. I don't think you can put all the eggs in that basket. You know,
yeah.
I think we gotta have a middle ground there, but it's certainly a point to consider as well.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
so
that's our take. We
so
just
basically
kinda...
a whole bunch of opinions with absolutely zero facts.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the time to go out there and do all the studies, but neither does the media. So
exactly.
So
in fact, we talked about that in my class recently, how yeah. the media looks at a study and then someone interprets the study and then dumbs it down for the rest of the world
right.
and how that's how things often get misinterpreted and wrong. Or the telephone game when you're a kid and you pass the words along and it changes, you know?
It's true, but that also is a necessary, you know, if you're going to get any information at all about anything. I mean, you can't
but
be expert
but
on every
you,
topic.
Right, but if
you
you're...
You got to choose your sources wisely.
But as I tell my students, if you really care about it, if you're going to change how you vote or how you live or what you eat or what you buy or what you invest in, you better go back to the study yourself before you make any lifelong decisions. So
right.
before you start ripping, well, once again, our audience probably is majority teachers, but before you start changing the entire education system, make sure you go back and look at the numbers
right.
you know, and actually understand what's going on. So
yes.
don't
good.
Just start throwing anyway. All right.
Yes. All right, so I think
what a negative thing to end on.
No,
there,
I don't
right?
think
no,
so.
That was positive.
I feel very positive,
positive
about
all
it
right,
because
all
I
right.
think that we were fair. I mean, we did it, you know.
Okay.
Say, I think we kind of talked around it, the whole issue.
talked
around the whole issue, you know, and just sort of.
All right.
You know.
So.
Gave it a fair shake.
All right. So our holiday spectacular
is coming out this week.
Yes, we're recording today the Holiday Spectacular,
uh-huh.
the video.
Special,
and the,
yes.
And we're hoping it'll be out later this week. Or, well, it will be out later this week.
We are definitely going to get it out
otherwise,
ASAP.
Holly has threatened to cancel the Holiday Spectacular. I just
want to
put that out there.
To...
If it doesn't happen, don't blame me. It's Holly's fault.
No, I've threatened to cancel the holidays for you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, so we're recording that today.
Yes.
In fact, here next, so you'll get a whole bunch of gift
yes.
ideas. Might be a little bit late, but then maybe for when you get some money or whatever after the holidays or the sales or whatever. So there'll be all sorts of good tech-related, generally
right.
fun stuff.
And once again, you can check out the show notes at thetechteachers.blogspot.com and email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E.
Or you can get a hold of me at twitter.com/PSHARKR.
And you cannot get a hold of me at Twitter. So.
PSHARKR. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, I'm Ray.
I'm Holly. Thank you for listening.
Until next time.